He calls people to be believers. It's where it all begins. There may be progressive callings from that point, but he calls every individual to be a believer. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance and all would turn their hearts and lives towards him and become a believer. I was 10 years old when the Lord called me in a service that I attended. I didn't go to church to go to church. I just went to church to be with my grandmother. There were others of us there. You've heard me tell this story. And there were others of us there. We were just there to be with grandma, you know, for like an hour and a half. Then it was back out in the dirt, playing. We were young. And it was in that service that the pastor's wife stepped off the organ, came back to stand behind me. She laid her hands on my shoulders and she began to prophesy. Now, at the time, it really meant nothing to me. I didn't know what that was all about. And my mother asked me about it. She didn't attend that night. And I said, man, I don't know this lady. She put her hands on my shoulders. She started saying these things. And what'd you do? I said, I don't know what to do. I didn't do anything. And I left that night, and I never gave any more thought about it. I didn't answer the call. I find it interesting how young at times and how far reaching the places God will go and even the establishments that he would dare to walk into to call an individual to be a believer. When I had money, you know, from working at farms, I was either spending them on cigarettes or beer at the Chesterfield House in New Jersey. And so this one night I'm at the Chesterfield House and I pretty much spent everything, but you know, it was 1:45. They were going to close in 15 minutes. I was sitting up at the bar and I was pretty well gone. I don't even know how I got this out of my mouth, but the guy that was the owner, he was closing up and he was wanting to know, you want one more? And I looked across at him and I said, when I get married, I'm going to marry a Christian girl. He looked at me like, and you're telling me this, why? Now, I don't know where she stepped away to, but I was thinking about this young lady that was sitting right over here earlier. That was where I was headed. There was a call that came to me to be a believer, yet while I was in my drunken stupors, there's no limit to where or how far we'll go. God will go and reach for somebody to respond to the call of God to come to him and be a believer. Let's turn to the book of Jonah, the first book, the first chapter, the first verse. I'm going to read to you. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. Now Jonah wasn't in a 2 p.m. service. He wasn't in a worship service. He wasn't singing in a choir. I believe it was when he was all alone, the word of the Lord came to him and began to speak to him. You know, in a conference, we're kind of, we're responsive in a way, depending on who's around us, how the service is going, how everything's feeling, on how we respond. But when it's just us, in our quiet time, in our alone time, there's no accountability. around us that would dictate in any way our response. And so it demands an honesty. It demands truth on the inward parts. When the call of God comes, whether we are able to push it away, push it off, delay it, how many here today would admit to the rest of us that you pushed it off in the beginning? That you delayed it significantly. Oh, yeah, thank you, thank you. So I'm not alone. For the years that I pushed away and pushed away what I knew had come to me at a very young age, the call of God to be a believer. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I don't want nothing to do with that. I know what that was. I felt that. Service is over. I got to go home. There's, you know, a pot roast on the stove, or we got commitments elsewhere, or, you know, business has been so good. My job is calling me and I got to go, and I can bury myself in my busyness of my vocation and ignore and push away what may be obvious to others, but I'm convinced nobody else can see. Whoops. Careful. Don't get around spiritual believers. There'll be a witness in the body. There'll be something that others feel that you felt, but you're not willing to admit. And so we push back. Our attendance drops. We hide away a little bit. Oh, I'm going on a trip. I'm going to see family. Going away. We won't be here for the next couple weeks. I got no names. I got no faces. I just got statements. When that tug comes, when that pull comes, when what has been obvious to you but now has become obvious to others, he's calling. He's calling. Okay. Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. You know, when the call of the Lord comes to you as an individual, when you make the decision to turn the other way and distance yourself from that call, move in the opposite direction of that call. Sometimes we don't realize it, but we have begun a descent. And things around us begin to erode or break up or become empty. And Jonah went down and then down, and then down, and then down. Now he's going down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. The shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us and we perish not. They said every one to his fellow, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. Isn't it eerie when people start looking at each other with that look of, all right, what's going on here? And they cast their eyes in your direction. And you got that sheepish look on your face. Parker does that sometimes. Looking away, not me, don't look my direction. But God has a way of making it not just evident to us, but evident to others that we're associated with or around us. But nobody dares ask the question. They said everyone to his fellow, verse 7, come, let us cast lots that we may know whose cause this evil has come upon us. They cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us? What is thine occupation? When once comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people are you? Who are you? For I know... Oh, wait. He said unto them, verse 9, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto you that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. He said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is come upon you. Now we're getting somewhere. When a person comes to the realization that the erosion of circumstances around them that has now not just affected them, but is beginning to affect those near him in a negative way, comes to the place of admittance. I can't help it. I'm running from God. I have felt the call of God to thus and thus, or to just be responsive to him, and I'm not ready yet. And so days go on, weeks go on, months go on, and for some years, I reflect back to a few weeks ago when I talked about John in prison, when he said to the followers of Jesus, are you the one that's to come, or do we wait for another? And so it is that the cry goes out, I believe, from the body of Christ. If he places the members in the body as he wills, there are those that he has placed. There are those who he has desired to place. There are those who he has planned to place. And yet there are those places left empty or being delayed. Are you the one that should come, or do we wait for another? Pray with me. We're praying with me about you. Search the inward heart, Father. Search the inward part of me. Let no stone be left unturned. Let every door be wide open to my heart. In the name of Jesus, let me be responsive, Father, to you fully. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, We read about the seven sons of Sceva. The seven sons of Sceva took one who was full of demonic. He was a demoniac full of demons. And said, "We adjure thee by the one that Paul preacheth. Come out." Now I can see the little party going on, the little meeting they were having on the inside. This guy ain't nobody. He don't even know who he is. He don't even know the name he's using. And the scripture says they leapt on him. I got this visual earlier. A couple of demons working down the streets. And one of them spots somebody and says, "Hey, a believer ahead. Should we evade? Should we move to the left or the right? Should we hide?" And the other demon says to that demon, "Nah, he hasn't even come into agreement with the call of God on his life yet. He don't know who he is. He don't know where he's going. He's got no direction. He hasn't answered the call. Don't worry about him. He's so busy with his..." It's so easy for us to become wrapped up in our vocation that we put off or delay or make excuse. You know, we're not allowed to talk about the Lord on our job. So we're undercover Christians. We're on a down low. We don't want nobody... You know how I think are the happiest believers in this world? It's those that are on the verge of getting fired on their job because they can't help it wherever they go. They just open their mouth. "Man, we had a service the other night." "Really? What happened? Tell me." "Well, a pastor, he started preaching about it." You know how the scripture says the word of the Lord grows and reaches out? I think it does that right through the mouths of believers. Let's pray again. Me, Lord. Help me, Father, to be fully responsive to your call, Father. In the name of Jesus. I want to skip the rest of that. We know where that story goes. Jonah just kept going down, 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 down. It's not going to turn. It's not going to change. As long as, no matter how many years in his life, he evades the call. Now, you know, some respond to the call of becoming a believer. But the scripture says he places members in the body as he wills. And he speaks of that spiritually. Now, I want to make an example of you, Mark. I called you out a couple weeks ago, made some comments. I said it was kind of vague, but I said that you were here by purpose. You were here on purpose. What I felt in the Holy Ghost is the Lord placing you in the body, not because you do certain kinds of work, or not because you needed to get out of California, or not because of all the bears that you came across. It's a spiritual acknowledgement. It's an identifying. I feel the call of God upon you to be here. What is the progression of that? I don't know. But he knows. And he wants you to know. And so there's something that goes on between you finding that place and others around you in leadership identifying and acknowledging that place. All right? That allows you the freedom to operate spiritually in your calling. There was a guy praying in a meeting a few weeks ago over on the east side. I felt something on him as he began to pray. I inquired, I said, who is this guy? Where did he come from? Oh, that's so-and-so. He showed up here, you know, about 2 months ago, and he attended the men's conference, and he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, there was so much authority on him in prayer, and I thought, who? And he had just got the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Now, spiritually, I'm just recognizing or identifying with what I feel when he's praying. If I just look at him physically, I'd say, the dude needs to get a haircut. But I wouldn't say that. I could think it, though. I'm not looking at him and thinking, oh, here's a polished individual. There's a lot of potential. None of that. Identifying spiritually because I sense God placing spiritually a member in the body. It's for the purpose of the edifying of us all. If Joe finds that place and walks in and acknowledges, he'll find fulfillment and we will receive edification. Brother, Sister Thompson, you like hanging out at the Cools? Do you go there just because you like hanging out at the Cools? Nah. You feel to be there, don't you? And you go there and you minister like Mary ministered. Now, I'm just saying, I acknowledge the call. That's the responding to a call. Nobody said, hey, Thompson's, would you do me a favor? Would you just pop in at the Cools, you know, once in a while or once a week? Nobody's ever said that. But yet there are those in the body ministering to others in the body with no directives being given but by the leading of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, the body of Christ is edified. I'm not even there. I receive edification just knowing that you're there. The diversity of callings in the body of Christ. I'm convinced, I can't say they're innumerable because there's a number of us that's in the room. And so whatever that number is, there's that much. There's that. Do you think he just places anybody? Listen, there are no nobodies. There are no nothings. Every piece, every member, now, placed in the body, has function and purpose. That when I find as an individual, here, listen to me, watch. When I answer in the affirmative, okay, me, Lord, send me. When I answer in the affirmative, it brings fulfillment in me, in my walk with God. And it brings an edification and growth in the body of Christ. Now, let me give you the contrast or the conflict to that. It's when one person gives himself to being heard so that all the rest can hear them. In other words, they operate in their function, but everybody else just watches, just attends, just spectates. That makes them not a minister. That makes them an intercessor. container. Because we're here for function. Every single one of us who he has placed in the body and in the congregation. Becoming a born-again believer is the Lord establishing me in his body. Then as a born-again, spirit-led, hopefully, believer, he may give directives and place me in areas or within assemblies. We use the term congregations because I have a place, a role there. He's my boss. Oh, man, I'd rather live in Palo Alto, but he's the boss. So Nome, Alaska it is. I am consumed with the idea what God can do with every believer when they answer his call. Not just to become a believer. No. Show me my function. Show me my place. Let me live and operate in the function that you've purposed for me while I was still in my mother's womb. Now, many do. Receive it as confirmation. Many are. Receive it as confirmation. But if you have not, let it prod you, let it poke you, let it disturb you, let it take away your sleep. Because his call comes, and we are all responsive to answer to his call, to our place. Amen. You know, there are some that he has placed in the body that are, they are worshipers. You see, there's no simply worshipers. There's no, well, they're just a worshiper. No. They are worshipers. And when they begin to worship, whether they're up there or down here, it brings an element, somebody said, an energy into the room. Man, I like what I feel. Yeah, somebody begin to worship. Some are praisers. Not me so much. My bones hurt. Some are prayers. Some accomplish more before the service than those in the service. Some keep at bay things out of your and I life all week long because they lend themselves to the call of God upon their lives. And they are responsive and say, yes, Lord. And they are engaged in the spirit, whether we will ever know it or not. They are the call. They have said yes. Many callings. So I've been talking with our congregational leaders, started some dialogue a few weeks ago. I set up a table and I said, all right, here's a table. Help me identify different elements of ministry within the congregations. And they did. They helped me. They helped me identify and put in words the ones that are describable. Some functions, you couldn't even put a description or a name on it. But God knows, and individuals who walk in it, they know. There are some folks that because of their faithfulness, bring something into this room when they come through that door. Now, I am beneficiary of it. It helps me to minister. I am beneficiary of it because it is spiritual edification. It comes in the body because of the presence of an individual who has a faithful walk. Now, how do you, you know, we can say, well, you know, they're called to be faithful. And different stages and situations in their life. My point being, there are some callings that are very definitive, easily to identify. And there are some that are not. But because people walk in it, we are all beneficiary of it. Listen, I get around a little bit, visit some of our churches. I'm not here to gloat because I'm not responsible. But I can tell you this. There is a freedom and a liberty that happens in this house. There is an anointing here. There is something here that's of God that no man could ever produce it. We just humbly acknowledge it. It's here. He's here. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. And responsive to the call, every believer. So I asked our congregational leaders to go down that list and write in names next to the descriptions. I was kind of amazed by the time it was all filled in. How many obvious individuals in the body have place? That reaches and touches so many lives. You know, we're not in this alone. I've been in it alone. You know, my wife and I went to Sunnyside years ago to start a church. It was grueling. It was hard. There wasn't anything fun in it. You know, some do that for recognition. There was nobody to recognize anything. I could recognize her. She could recognize me. Honey, that was wonderful today. Thank you so much for, you know, ministering to the body. Mine. And the kids. Praise God. And I thought to myself, you know, Brother Berglund, you did this. We call them home missionaries. Go out and start a work. They are the hardest workers in the kingdom, in my opinion. They are the hardest. They carry more of the load than anybody I know. The people with the big and the grand, and they got it easy. They got it easy. Let me tell you why. I used a term in our dialogue. I wasn't so sure how comfortable they were with my terminologies, but I knew where I got it from. And I said, list your assets. You mean like my car, my house, my... No. What's an asset? You know, you ever done a balance sheet? You got income and expense. I was thinking of the word debit. Income and expense. Or you have assets and liabilities. What's an asset? An asset is something that brings value to the situation. Contributes, adds to. It works for me. Now, do me a favor. Don't get offended if you hear me use this term. Mark, you're an asset. Mark Kendrick, you're an asset. I can go around the building here and call out names and talk about. Now, you can say, well, we're all assets. We're all in the kingdom of God. Well, that wasn't in the concept of what I was wanting to talk about. When we were in Sunnyside, we had no assets. We had liabilities. Period. We never could move them over into the other column. Sad to say, that's the truth. You know, I've never been around people that worked so hard to convince me that I was out of the will of God for coming to Sunnyside. And then when I announced to them, well, we're leaving. We're responding to the call to go to Puyallup. Rush right to my house to tell me I was getting out of the will of God. I thank them because that was my first strongest sign. We are in the will of God. This liability has tried to... No. What if I use the term with you, asset management? I want to be open and candid. The reason why, one of the reasons why this has been on my mind. I have had involvement in other situations, other places, where nobody ever identified or acknowledged their assets. See, they were convinced that everybody lived at such a lower level than them and had nothing to offer that their only objective in life was to come and hear them speak to them. Never identifying assets in the body whom God had placed there. I believe the responsible thing to do is to manage assets wisely. And by the leading of the Spirit of God. You know, when we look at that scripture that says, and daily, you know, those were added to the church. I can't believe that 3,000 people, you know, would just come along to follow an individual. Miko and Tara Laksamana went on a road trip, and they came back and they shared some things with me, just in a phone conversation. They visited a couple places, and in one place they were impressed that it's like, he said, there were so many people involved. It's like it was everybody's church. You know, there was ownership. In other words, people, individuals had taken ownership of the ministry and the reach to people and how others were treated. It wasn't just those in the greeting department at the door. You follow me? And so what I see is many individuals acknowledging who they are in the body as believers, but also answer the call that should be operative in their life all the time. You know, do we leave all the responsibility for the children to Sister Fisher and the few that she can persuade to teach Sunday school? Or do we become active also in parts wherever we can? I'm probably getting off subject here. I don't know. Are you the one that should come? Or do we wait for another? Are you the one who God intended to serve a function in this body? Or are we waiting for somebody else? Let me ask it more direct. Is there anybody? Don't have to raise a hand or bat an eye or anything. Just hear the question. Is there anybody here that at times you're pretty sure you felt the call or the Lord has shown you? More active role in the body than what you have embraced? What I find, and I can look back to my own experience, because of the activity of my vocation, I just keep coming back to this. Because of the activity of my vocation, which demanded of me travel, being away from home, only had so much time to be at home. I remember I went down and worked a fireworks booth one night like we did every year. I was mad. I didn't want to be there. I should be home with my kids. I felt like I'd gave, too much of my time already. Boy, my pastor saw it on me and came over to me and said, "Why don't you go home?" Thank you. Got my car and left. That was busyness. It wasn't me walking in a fulfilled role or a responsibility role in the kingdom that God was calling to me, because I saw the opportunity of success going up the chain, going up the ladder on my job. Well, look, there's potential. They may do this. They may do that. There's a lot of promise here. Things are going pretty good. Everybody else has left. I stuck around. Some people call that promotion. Okay, let's just pray one more time. Me, Lord, talk to me as an individual. Help me know with surety, Lord. Jesus. Help me to say yes. Help me to say yes, Lord. Let me walk in the promise of your word, Father. When you go to the book of Acts, the 6th chapter, you read about, great revival had broke out. And there were those that came forward and said, "Hey, we got a bunch of people that are being missed out on, much older ladies. And, they need to be tended to." And so there was an attempt to draw them out of what they had been doing in their ministering and to meet these other functions. And so they, by the leading of the Lord, called out some and asked them to wait on tables, to serve in, physical manner. Just would you be a help? We need you to be a help. And the Bible says they were full of the Holy Ghost and men of renown, a bunch of great guys. Those men, I believe they were all men, responded in the affirmative to whatever was asked of them to do. Now, if you read their qualifications, they had great qualifications in their walk with God. And in their serving, it speaks of serving. In serving, miracles were wrought. He made a couple of cakes. Was just giving them to people. waiting on their table. And the Bible says miracles were done because somebody said yes to the call and walked in that function rather than what are we waiting for sometimes? Some grandiose acknowledgement in the simplicity of serving others. I wanted to say something the other day. I'm going to say it. A few years ago, we appointed congregational leaders, listen close, to serve you. Heavy on the serve part. And I believe that they do. And I work hard. Listen to me. I work hard to protect the concept and the idea that it ever should be reversed, that they would expect you to serve them. Workers together with them is one thing. But again, there's something about maintaining that attitude of servitude. What can I do to help? Where can I help you? In Stephen's day, God worked miracles when he was wiping those dishes and putting them in the dishwasher. When he went behind the rest. Oh, I am feeling the Holy Ghost. When he came behind others, when others had eaten their full and moved on, sweeping up behind, cleaning up behind, serving and taking care of. The Lord said, I feel like moving here. And did miracles and signs. Wonders. And then one day he said, good work, Stephen. That was awesome. Thanks. I'm going to break. I'm taking you home. Folks, go ahead. Start throwing rocks at him. He is not going to mind. Watch his face. It will be like the face of an angel. Go ahead. Come on, bigger rocks. Those are pebbles. And the Lord took him out. He'd served the Lord's purpose. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about him being glorified. It was about the Lord being glorified. He had served the Lord's purpose. I'm done with you. Come here. Come on up a little higher. Praise God. I'm still feeling the Holy Ghost. What do you want to do? Oh, that moment when you have felt the beckoning call and you have felt and you've delayed and you've delayed. You've delayed and time's passed and there's just enough evidence around you that you felt like you were justified in your delaying. But then you come to the place. Some people have not had enough failure yet. Are you needing some more? Failure will bring you to the end of yourself. Some people haven't had enough failure in their life, so they're still striving to serve self. And they're protecting that opinion you have of them. They spend their lives protecting and What's it called? Not an opinion. Nope, that's close too. What? Image? That's close. Reputation. Who said it? Sometimes people spend their life doing, saying, image projecting to protect what they think is the reputation you have of them. I knew an individual had enough failure in his life that he lost his reputation. And in conversation I was having with a friend, he said, yeah, he lost his reputation. Like that was a downward slide. And this was the first time I'd ever said this. I was standing in the doorway of a hotel. And I said to him, I said, you know, some men just don't have enough failure yet. He looked at me like I'd lost my mind. Because what I realized was the guy had enough failure that he lost his reputation. Now he became fully responsive to God. It wasn't the perception of other men that directed and guided his life or misguided his life. He was now free of that. It didn't matter. It was already tainted. It was already destroyed. Now I can be free to serve God. I know some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm a little crazy today. But I'm telling you the truth. I witnessed and watched. The man would get on a plane and fly to four different congregations in the country that he was now leading as an overseer. Well, he didn't have a lot of friends. But man, did they have a lot of members in the body. Okay, you'll get that later. Praise God. Let's stand. When I was a little kid going to a Nazarene church, they didn't do much in the way of altar calls. And every once in a while, there would be this convicting message. And you'd feel this, oh, I want to go, but I'm going to do all I can to not go. I'm holding it back. Nobody else knows. It's just me and what I'm feeling, and I'm holding it back. And pretty soon, I remember this happening at a youth camp up in New York. Finally, I just quit fighting. And I can't describe to you the feeling when you stop resisting and you step into the aisle. It's like the angels of heaven. Ta-da! That's what it felt like. Inside here, it was like, Papa, today has arrived. And the angels are rejoicing. You understand how long they've been waiting? Come on, that's scripture. They're watching, they're waiting, they're thinking, look, he's gonna. Oh, he didn't do it again. He resisted. What's wrong with that kid? Oh, if he would align himself with God's purpose and will for him. He doesn't know the destiny in store for him. You know, angels are praying against, don't promote him. Don't promote him. No, don't. That'll go to his head. Don't stop. He'll just get more involved in his vocation. Angels are up there saying, trip him. One of you guys, go down there and trip him. Let him fall. He needs to fall on his face again. Then maybe he'll become receptive and responsive to God's call upon his life, and he'll yield and surrender. Attaboy, Stephen. Just yield. I beg you. Say yes, Lord. I give you all of me. I surrender all. Don't be like the one that waits till they're 50 or 60 or 70. Come on, I don't care if you're 10 years old this morning. I know that God will call an individual to align himself with his purpose and will for the kingdom's sake.
You got any idea how many are waiting in the wings?
If there were thousands that came to those few apostles because they'd sold out and begin to live their lives according to his purpose, how many? People you don't even know. People will approach you in the parking lots. Who are you? Who are you? Come on, I've had it done. Who are you? I don't know. No, nobody. What do you mean, who am I? I don't know. I just feel drawn to you. I just saw you. And there was something about seeing you. I had to talk with you. This happens to my wife. Come on, you've got a place. You've got a function. And there is a call of God upon you. There's no grander liberty than to say, yes, Lord, I give all. I'm going to give all. Come on, others here can testify to you of it. Because they've done it. Now back to that Nazarene altar call. Is there anything here that is tugging upon you and your life? Is there something that witnesses with you that, yes, this is what you've been trying to tell me? This is what you've been talking to me about? This is what I've been delaying? This is what I've been pushing off? Come on. I invite you to feel the feeling of not just moving, but of in your heart saying, yes. Yes, Lord, I'm in agreement. I'm going to walk in a place of cooperation with you. I'm going to stop resisting and I'm going to cooperate. For you, but you. Your wife can't do it. Your children can't do it. Your spouse can. Your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers. This is between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. I surrender all, Lord. I may be broken in my vessel, Lord, but you can touch me and heal me and make me fresh and make me new. I just want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. I want to be that which you have purposed in me. I want to be that one that's come because I was the one to come. Come on. Are you the one or do we wait for another? Are you the one that he's purposed or do we wait for another? I detect you're the one. I perceive that you're the one. I perceive that you're the one. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I will go.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'll say yes, Lord.
Yes.